Well, it is a Friday morning, and this is a DL short. Dividing line short. Why? Well, I don't want to bother Rich to set anything else up, and I'm going to try to keep it short. Really, I am. I'm going to try. Been a good boy recently. Haven't violated the irrational terms of service of a certain major video platform because we've been talking about other things. Remember, according to certain people, all I talk about anymore is politics, and I never talk about theology. Just remember that when you look at all of our videos. Anyway, it's January 7th, and this morning there are oral arguments taking place at the Supreme Court regarding the OSHA requirements that the regime has put in place, basically to force vaccination. And the news is filled this morning, if you're paying any attention to it, to many nations around the globe, simply forcing, making it impossible to live, unless you accept, unless you get onto the treadmill. And that's what it is, obviously. In Israel, they're getting ready for the fourth booster. In other countries, it's up to three. And, so it's never ending. It will continue forever, and you will have no control over what's in these treatments. I have recommended, the fictional work, which is turning out to be a prophetic work, similar to 1984 Brave New World. But This Perfect Day by Ira Levin from the 70s, where you have this type of medical treatment that is, you always wonder how it started. And it always starts with all the best motivations. But the Supreme Court argumentation is going on. And I was noting, in fact, I listened to a portion of it. The two leftist females on the court, clearly know nothing about what they're talking about. One just said there are 100,000 children, in hospitals, with COVID. And it was pretty closely linked to being intubated and stuff like that. It's just completely bogus. Even Fauci admitted that the vast majority of children in hospital situations have it, but they're not there because of it. They came in with a broken leg because they fell off their bike because they didn't know they had anything because they're perfectly fine. And they get tested, and because everyone's getting tested, I've driven by them, the testing places, there's one on 35th Avenue here in Phoenix. I drive by it on the way to work, and long, long lines. I mean, that place has been here for a year and a half and never saw anybody there. Now lines around the block. And so everybody's getting tested. I have never been tested, by the way. But everybody's getting tested. And, so they get tested, and lo and behold, they have COVID. Oh, look at this. All our children are dying. It's just absurdity. And one of them, I don't remember, it was Sotomayor or Kagan. They're just duplicates of each other. One of them said, the hospitals are full. Ah! I worked in a hospital back in the 90s. I was a chaplain. Toughest work I ever did. But you learn about hospitals, how hospitals work. And if it's January and you aren't full, everybody's really anxious. They're going to lose their jobs because the hospital must be full in January. If it's not full in January, you're not going to survive the summer. They want to be full. They staff to be full. They plan to be full. They want to be full. They're businesses. They're supposed to be. You only put enough beds and rooms in service to be full. It's a cost. Everybody who works in a hospital knows this. You can tell. I mean, I could literally come in when I come in for my shift, and I'd look at they'd print out this number of pieces of paper with who's in the hospital, where they are, and religious affiliation. And if that was a short list, everybody's in a bad mood and everybody's concerned. But if it's a nice, full, chunky list, then all's well. And these people just don't, there is such a massive amount of ignorance of how any of this stuff works, massive amount of ignorance of mortality numbers, comorbidities, cancers, heart disease. It is astonishing. And that's why when I heard, you know, SCOTUS, I'm sorry, SCOTUS is not a savior. I don't care how many quote unquote conservative judges you have on there. They're judges. They may not know anything. Obviously, these two women know nothing about what they're talking about. They know nothing about the issues of the vaccines and the fact that there's strong evidence now that being vaccinated makes you more susceptible to Omicron, which is sniffles. The vast majority of people have sniffles. But I know people that are dying. Yes, and if we had covered medical disease in 2015, the way we're covering it in 2022, we would have been just as panicked back then by whatever strain of flu or cold was prevalent that year. We would be just as much pulling our hair out and screaming for somebody to save us. But we didn't, because it wasn't ready yet to be used the way it's being used now. And so I put that together with what I briefly watched yesterday. I just happened to turn the television on yesterday in the morning and encountered the president's diatribe. That was as close to a banana republic, tin-plated dictator speech as I've ever heard in the United States of America. It was reprehensible. It was childish. It was astonishing. Filled with lies and specifically designed to divide and to, as Doug Wilson has said, don't take the bait. Don't take the bait. Boy, was this was the biggest bait speech I have ever heard. All based upon one of the most obviously self-created events in American history. The new holy day of the secular left. I mean, you think about what the Soviets did, and you think about what the Chinese did, and you think about the holidays they've created to commemorate these great events in the socialist revolution and blah, 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 blah. That's where we are. That's who these people are. And they are creating mythology right in front of us. And 50 years from now, every school child in America may be wearing black on January 6th to remember the great and darkest day when the people stormed the Capitol and stayed between the little satin ropes. So I had the misfortune of watching that. And so all of this, all the mountain of papers that are coming out right now, documenting the reality of the utter collapse and failure of the vaccine only approach, which is why we've never done it until 2020, because everybody back then recognized you can never keep up with mutations. This is dumb. But that was before Pfizer had hundreds of billions of dollars to buy every press source and everything and all the politicians in the world. The mountain of evidence is beyond question. But you're not allowed to talk about it. I mean, how long are the arguments today at Supreme Court? An hour? It would take you more than an hour to even scratch the surface of the evidence of the failure of this technology. You wouldn't even be able to do it. All you can do is just say it. The other side's going to say, oh, just the opposite. And they're going to cite this or that thing. And since you can't do a serious debate, you can't dig into it. I don't see what's going to come of it. But all of this, I sit here, and again, you have to try to control the emotions. You have to try to avoid the, let's turn the phone off. Well, turn the volume off. You try to avoid the darkness of the soul when you think about the foolishness of the people around you. And as a Christian, you start going, how did this happen so quickly? And how can intelligent people buy into this kind of stuff and not see what's in front of them? I have said for a long time, and we can document going back decades, even during, you know, during the, after 2006, when I had a period of time there where I'm really focused upon Islam and debating Muslims, and there's all sorts of terrorist narratives going around. I was never one of those people going, yep, Islam's going to take over the world and we got to do this. No. I knew, first of all, that whenever Muslims get power, they turn on each other, and that's just reality of history. But I recognize the greatest enemy of the kingdom of Christ is secularism. Secularism is the polar opposite. It is the utter purposeful negation of every aspect of the claims of Christ upon this world. It is. Christ teaches us that we are the creatures of God, that we have transcendent value, that we're made male and female. And secularism says we have no transcendent value. There is no creator. And there are 175,000 different genders. It's just, Christ tells us that life is precious and is a gift of God, and that's why we're responsible for what we do with our lives. Secularism says just the opposite. Don't like the pregnancy that just resulted from your fornication? Kill it. Or donate to science and use its body parts, whatever. It is just a negation of everything that is good and just and holy in the Christian faith is negated. And you go back, you look at Marx, you can draw all the connections that everyone but me wrote a book over the past 2 years about critical race theory or social justice and so on and so forth. I didn't, because I'm not an expert in it and I'm not going to pretend to be something I'm not. So on that. So anyway, all this stuff is going on. And so we've been saying consistently, secularism is this great enemy. And so how is it though? Because it's self-destructive. It is so self-destructive. Here you have intelligent people and the numbers are right in front of them. I can't see it. Can't see it. And so I grabbed my Jeffrey Rice Tyndale Greek New Testament. Yes, I know, I know, I know. I shouldn't do that, but it is. unfortunately. Okay, I could pull this off if I really, really had to, but forgive me. It is much more comfortable as I am less than a year away from my seventh decade now. Some of you won't be able to. Some of you who struggled back in the year 2000 won't get that one either. But anyway, I keep coming back to a phrase that Paul uses in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, I'm going to avoid any argumentation about eschatologies and things like that for this particular point in time. And you notice something? I just thought I'd point out. See, I'm in 2 Thessalonians. See where that is? That's almost, well, here, there you go. Looks like it's right toward the end. It is, because the Tyndale Palace Greek New Testament is in different canonical order. And so 2 Thessalonians is right toward the end. So just a little fact that you might find interesting. If you're a Greek reader or at least a Greek studier, I do highly recommend getting hold of this particular version of the Greek New Testament, especially in the printed form. It's really nice, really neat. And then you can talk with Jeffrey Rice about getting your own nice version of it. Anyway, these words are in the context of judgment. And the only answer I have been able to offer for many years now for the self-deception, the self-destructive deception going on in the West is judgment. Judgment from God. And that is the context in verse 10. destruction of the unrighteous. They would not love the truth so as to be saved, receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. And for this reason, God sends upon them, he is sending, this is a divine act, upon them, an ergion planes, an operation, an ergion, energy, action, power of deception, eistha pistousai. This is Pauline Greek, eistha with the infinitive throughout his works. So that they might believe to sudai, the lie. So there is, as a part of judgment, God sends a power of deception so that they might believe the lie. And then, again, very standard Pauline syntax, henna clause, in order that the ones not believe. Now, the actual first part of the phrase is that all might be judged. Well, who are the all that might be judged? The ones not believing the truth, but finding pleasure in, approving of unrighteousness. So it's not just, see, there, the myth of neutrality is exploded in this text. The ones not believing the truth, well, they just didn't hear, or it wasn't explained to them real well. No, the ones not believing the truth, but approving of, taking pleasure in unrighteousness, in order that all of them might be judged. So this is the context. People need to recognize that God has the right to judge as he sees fit. Think about it. On a strict standard of justice, if you are a sinner, God can call you to account by ending your life and bringing you to judgment at any point, right? At any point. And if he doesn't, that is an extension of a form of long-suffering patience. You might call it a form of grace, not saving grace, but it's a form of grace. And so if he doesn't do so, then there has to be a reason why he doesn't do so. And he has a reason for everything that he does. But it's amazing how many people will object to the reality that God can judge, and that God can judge by sending an ergion planes, an energy of deception. Well, why not? If you love falsehood, if you love your self-claimed autonomy, if you love the secular worldview, which, like I said, at every single point involves you in rebellion against your creator. You are a pot stamped right onto your tush, is made by in such and such a year, and you're denying all of that. Every element of secularism is a denial of that reality. And so why shouldn't God judge you? And in fact, send a spirit of deception so that you might believe a lie. Believe the lie. That's the only explanation that I can see for the reality of what we are seeing in the West today, is that we had so much light. I think of London, and I think of so many places that I have visited, where etched into the walls are scriptural texts. And you pass by the places where great men of God have proclaimed the truth, and thousands have listened and bowed the knee to Christ in the past. And now in my beloved Scotland, oh my goodness, the ungodliness, the institutionalized rebellion, the embarrassment that so many Scottish people have of their own history and of the centrality of Christ's claims in that history. Full on rebellion. Why shouldn't God send an absolute spirit of delusion to believe the lie and to, well, to give them up, as Romans chapter 1 says, to revel in their deception and in their own self-destruction? Why shouldn't he? God may well use this as an example in the far future of why we should never, ever, ever go down this road ever, ever again. But the fall will have to be great to produce that kind of example, because a lot of us are old enough to remember the dissolution of the Soviet Union in 91, the fall of the wall in 89. I was an adult. I was well aware of the changes in the world and people saying democracy has prevailed and all is well. And for a while there, it looked like, well, this is great. This is fine. This is wonderful. But in reality, the communists had simply decided, you know, we've pretty well wiped out this area. Let's go wipe out the other area by parachuting in behind the lines and taking over the universities. And leaving this mess and going over where it's nice to live for a while, we'll destroy that in time as well. And that's what they've been up to. But I remember those years. So much light. And yet, what have we done with it? We've made abortion as easy to obtain as possible. We kill our young people. Now we profane marriage. We put people in positions of governmental authority who pretend to be married to another man or another woman and rejoice when they abuse children by putting them in that type of a context. It's just, and sometimes it is hard to differentiate between what is the judgment and what brings the judgment. And part of that is because if you really look at like what happened in Israel, it would escalate. So judgment comes, and if it's not met with repentance, then there's a doubling down and more idolatry, and so more judgment comes. And so it's sort of hard to tell at times, is the confusion on genders what brings judgment, or is that judgment? It's probably both, depending on the individual and the context. So the point was, looking at what's going on, listening to that astonishing banana republic tyrant dictator sermon yesterday, looking at, oh, Trudeau, and the attempt to turn the unvaccinated into the modern version of the Jew. That's exactly what's going on. It's happening in Germany. And it's like, we've already forgotten. I mean, it's been that short of a period of time that you're going to do this again. And as irrational as it was back then, it's just as irrational today. I mean, we all still are thinking that we could sit there and go, but wait a minute, look at the studies, look at all the dead soccer players, look at the rise in heart disease, look at the dangers here, look at the numbers that say that actually the fully vaxxed and boosted are getting more Omicron than the unvaccinated are. Can we have a rational conversation? No, you can't. Jackbooted thugs and totalitarians are not interested in rational conversation. They're not interested. And they're not going to allow it either. They're not going to allow it. So they're still made in the image of God. And so I'm still going to look at any single one of them and say, you know what you're doing is wrong. You know that the life that you're living is inconsistent. And here is how you can have peace with God. And if you will not do that, this is the part that seemingly the church doesn't want to say. This is what the judgment of God looks like. This is what eternal punishment looks like. And you will be held accountable And I guarantee you, if the day comes when the jackbooted thugs show up to cart me away, I'm going to make sure they're going to have to do what they did to the Baptist martyrs a long time ago. They have to cut my tongue out, put a gag on me, because I'm going to be looking every single one in the eye and telling them what the results of their actions are going to be, making sure they know exactly what is going to happen. I think that needs to happen a whole lot more because the "I'm just doing my job" excuse doesn't cut it on the great day. Really, really doesn't. So there you go. Sorry. I wish I had, Christ is King. He's building his church. And truly, when you see the level of darkness that is in the minds of people around us, we just have to hope and believe that this demonstration of the utter self-destructiveness of secularism will stand as an important aspect of the eventual destruction of all of these anti-Christ ideologies. And that our great, great, great grandchildren will read about these in the history books and go, "Oh my goodness, what would it have been like to live in those days when people actually thought that men could marry men? And wow, we can never let that happen again." Let's hope and pray that that will come sooner than later, but we must needs be very, very patient and steadfast until that time. So there's a DL short. I can't even tell from what I'm recording on how long that was, but some thoughts for you today. And Lord willing, we'll be back with a regular dividing line next week. Thanks for watching. God bless.